WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, on location in the winner's circle of the Mopar Mile High Nationals here at Vandermeer Speedway. If you want to hear star Mellow Yellow Series drag racers, you have come to the right place, because we are going to hear from the winners. Top Fuel winner J.R. Todd going to be on this show. We'll hear from his crew chief James Riola, as well as some of the Coletta guys. Also on the show, Robert Height and the guys from John Force Racing, plus Pro Stock Motorcycle winner Andrew Hines, and of course, Alan Johnson in Pro Stock. How about it? The race was spectacular. The event, the crowd was incredible. The weather held out. Mopar was awesome. And we are going to hear from the winners, but we start all the shows off the same way. If you're a new listener, this is how we start off all the shows, folks. With the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart is with me, and we're on the back of a golf cart. Alan, wow, what a race.
It's not Tuesday. No, it seems weird to not be doing that. You realize you're going to throw my whole calendar off when I don't talk to you on Tuesday now. You know that, right?
You won't get the phone call. You have a free Tuesday. You can do anything you want.
Yeah, like get on a plane and fly to San Francisco for the next one of these. No, this one is, it was a fun one. It was a wild one. It was an interesting one. And, you know, just every year when we come here to Thunder Mountain, you just never know exactly what's going to happen. But I want to ask the questions. Can I ask the questions this week instead of you?
Sure. Yeah, ask the questions. I'll try to produce answers. Whether they're correct or not, I cannot be held responsible, but I'll do my best.
For years, you've been hearing me tell everybody, if you're going to go to one race someplace, go to Vandermeer. Now that you've been to Vandermeer, what do you think?
Alan Reinhart is absolutely correct, folks. It was beyond his statements and my expectations in many ways that I can't even explain. The location on the side of a mountain, everything he's always said is absolutely correct. Alan, you are absolutely correct, sir.
I love hearing that. You know, the most fun part for those of you listening is we got into town on Thursday afternoon, got in early enough to take a little tour of the place before the block party, and so we all piled in the car and drove out here and drove Joe by it on the freeway and said, there's the racetrack, and he was going, oh, my God, it really is carved into the side of the mountain. But this place is like none other. The family that runs it is spectacular. You know, you're not going to see the best performances here because of the mile-high altitude. The cars aren't going to run as fast, but that doesn't take any enthusiasm away from the race, and it's spectacular. This one was another great one. Okay, we can go back to our regular roles now if you want.
John Vandermeer actually going to be on the show. We're going to talk with him about where this place came from, how it all went down. But, yes, his version of the story on the highway is absolutely true, folks, because you see it like, what, that's it? There it is? We're that close? My goodness. And the Golden Block Party by Mopar was pretty fun, too.
And it always is. They always make it such a special occasion. You know, I talk all the time about NHRA is not just watching a race. It's experiencing an event. And the Mopar Mile High Nationals, now 26 years, this sponsor combination has been together with this event, and it just keeps growing and getting better. And the Mopar people love it. They signed up for 3 more years. The Vandermeers obviously love it. They do so much to promote the whole relationship and the whole event. And the event starts on Thursday, even though a car doesn't go down the track until Friday morning, with the big block party. All the Mopar drivers are out there. I couldn't begin to guess how many fans are out there. Live music, vendors, T-shirts, food, you know, grab yourself a Coors and walk down Washington Street in Golden, Colorado, and see what there is to see. That's how the event starts, and then it just continues to build from there.
All right, let's get into some actual racing. We'll start off in Top Fuel, where J.R. Todd and Brittany Force face off on live television, and to me, showcasing the young, fresh, exciting stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. Just a great day. Doug Coletta and Antron Brown squaring off. First run down the racetrack, 1 and 2 in points. Just lots of excitement.
The craziest thing about it was until that final round, Doug Coletta had low ET of race day on a losing run in the first round. I mean, it was a little baby hole shot, but that still counts as a hole shot. You know, JR's car was running okay all day, and I'm, you know, not talking behind their back. They'd tell you the same thing. They blew the snot out of it, second round, I believe. Turned that thing around, got it back together, made a solid run in the semis, and Brittany's car is so good, it's not going to be long before she wins one of these things. Those guys are getting very comfortable. Brittany is driven. You can see it. When she was driving in Supercomp and when she was driving the A-Fuel car, you know, the question was always there about how much desire she had to do this. You know, she was talking about being a teacher, went to school, did the stuff, but now that she's back out here and making her living doing it, you can see, you can feel the intensity, how badly she wants it, and the team has really come together. You know, they're going to be players. If they hit their stride start countdown time, man, look out. They could really make some waves and surprise some people before it's all over.
Three John Force Racing cars in the final round. Moving into Funny Car, where it was, I would call it domination by John Force Racing. Just every qualifying session, it was pretty much John and Robert. And then in eliminations, they are able to make it through to the final round. And it's John against Robert. And then it's this intramural squad battle between John. He's talking smack on TV. Hey, Height, I know you're over there listening. And Robert Height comes out on top. And he was very, very pumped up after the win.
Well, you know, Robert won four races earlier in the season and then went into, I guess, a mini slump. I mean, he didn't exactly disappear. But when you're winning regularly and you're getting used to winning and things are happening and then all of a sudden it stops, you know, I'm not sure what he'll say to you, but I know he mentioned in the press room at one point a couple of years ago, he won four races in a row and then didn't win again for a calendar year. And he says, you know, you get, okay, we're hot. Where'd it go? What happened? The interesting thing I thought, you talked about John and Robert being the dominant cars. Every time they walked off the starting line, Mike Neff and Jimmy Prock, the crew chiefs on the two cars, looked like two guys that knew a secret nobody else knew. I mean, they were fist bumping. They were smiling. I'm telling you, it was like the classic, I hope they don't catch on to us kind of thing. I have no idea what they found, what they're doing, but there's no question in my mind that those guys had something that certainly worked on the mountain. Now, whether it'll work when we get to Sonoma next week or Seattle or down the road, who knows? But this weekend, they were definitely a cut above the field.
And Robert Height and some of the other John Force Racing personalities are going to be on this show. All right, everyone at Julesburg Drag Strip, you can have one now. Now let's talk pro stock. Alan Johnson, what's up with this guy? He's just got this place nailed down. Mopar's in the final, him and Jaggy, and Alan pulls it out. Alan Johnson, they put in a test here, a lot of effort. He said, well, we did a test and we got the combination. Alan, you've worked in pro stock cars. How long is a combination supposed to last?
Until somebody else figures it out. I mean, that's the true question. As long as you can keep it a secret, as long as nobody else figures it out. Alan said in the press room that the fact that Vincent and the Mountain View Tire team left him and went to KB Racing, he believes helped the KB Racing team, because some of the stuff that they do on the cars, not necessarily engines, but on the cars, he said, you know, the KB guys, and again, nobody's talking behind their back, Jason and Greg have never been spectacular on the mountain, at least not for the past few years. This year, they were pretty good. I mean, Jason qualified number one. Greg was certainly running well. And, you know, he believes that Vincent took some of the stuff that they learned working with Alan in the last couple of years and took it to the new team, which you absolutely should. You know, if you trade for a second baseman, you don't expect him to leave all of his skills and knowledge at the old place. So, you know, that certainly closed the gap a little bit. Jason being the number one qualifier is something that really motivated Alan. And, you know, eight straight final rounds here. All the Mopar people here, you know, Alan in the press room said, he said, we got us a threesome. He said, Mopar, Mile Highs, and my Dodge, we're ready. And he wants to keep this string going. It's just such a huge event for him. All the big names are here. All the Mopar people are here. And to show off for them, that's showing somebody, there's a reason you invested in me. Here's what you're getting out of me. And there's no better place to win than in front of your sponsors and the people that support you all year long.
The announcement has been made that Erica Ender-Stevens will not be racing in Sonoma and in Seattle. They're going to pick it back up in Brainerd and then make a championship run. Allen, it appears, is really going to make a move after that first place slot, certainly running well, coming in off a race that he is very, very strong at on the Western Swing.
Well, I mean, everybody obviously is going to try to take advantage of Erica not being here. I want to go on the record as saying I will not be stunned if that Elite Motorsports car shows up in Sonoma. I know what they said. I know the announcement they made. I also know that somebody literally could call them tomorrow and say, hey, look, would you do a one-race deal? We'd like to see that car in California. And Richard Freeman would turn the truck around and head it that way. So I'm not convinced that they won't be there. I won't be surprised either way, but I'm not completely convinced that they won't be there.
Just to play, I don't want to call it Monday morning quarterback because it hasn't already happened yet, but in terms of championship strategizing, I've heard that they are discussing, you know, preparing for the championship run and using the time wisely. Do you think it's better to be at the track, assuming that finances are not the motivating factor?
I can't answer that question. Only the team can answer that question. I can tell you it's better to start the countdown with a 20-point lead than to not start the countdown with a 20-point lead. And that's what the number one qualifier going into the countdown, the point leader when we leave Indy, will have that cushion. When you look at what's happened the last couple of years, 20 points could be big. I mean, it almost always comes down to Pomona. And at that point, that 20 points could be huge. So, you know, is it a good decision? Is it a bad decision? Obviously, only time will tell. There's also been talk that starting at Indy, they're going to bring out a second car, put Richie in it to help the team, to gather information, to hopefully do some blocking and knock out some of the other guys. So, you know, we'll see. It seems to me that if you've got the budget to build a second car or to bring a second car out for six races, then you certainly would have the budget to go to two on the West Coast. But that's not my decision. You know, they're the ones that are running the team. They're the ones that have to figure it out. I still won't be surprised if Erica shows up in San Francisco next week.
Alan Johnson, race winner, going to be on this show, as well as Pro Stock Motorcycle winner Andrew Hines. And Andrew and the Screaming Eagle Harley-Davidson wins again. Michael Ray in the final round. Very exciting final round in terms of personalities. Andrew very happy to win up here again, the race that he started it all at.
Yeah, I mean, this place is like a home race for them. You know, they lived in Trinidad, which is a couple hours south of here, for a number of years. Still have a lot of friends and family in the area. This place is just special. You know, everybody loves the Bandemirs, the family that runs the place, and it's coming home again. You know, they didn't have the best bike all weekend long. They certainly had a very good bike on race day. Michael Ray, 005 light in the final, gave himself a legitimate shot, and then the transmission wouldn't shift. He finally got it to move. It went from first gear to third gear, and that's pretty much game over. He said, you know, at that point, don't tear up the equipment. Just concede the trophy, and we'll come back and get them next week. But looking forward to the Miramani Pro Bike battle next week. You know, what a difference a year makes, right? The Harleys last year, which struggled most of the season, getting acclimated and getting used to the new pushrod two-valve combination. And, you know, you give Byron Hines a little bit of time, and he will be able to beat you with a Vespa. And right now, he's had some time, and that's basically what's happening out there.
Thoughts on the live TV, the third and final race live TV? It seems like the more you do something, the better you get at it.
First off, Thank you to ESPN. The little rain shower, we were 30 minutes over our time slot, and they let us have the whole 30 minutes. They didn't pull out. They didn't, okay, well, we'll come back, or we'll try to fit it in someplace, or we'll do something. They gave us the entire 30 minutes. The pit reporters were obviously run through the ringer trying to fill all the time and do everything. You know, there's only so many times you can go, hey, so, Joe, what are you doing while it's raining out here? But, you know, we stayed along with them. We watched it here at the racetrack like we've done the last couple of times. So thank you to ESPN for being flexible and doing that. I think it's great. It'll be interesting to see the story that the ratings tell and that the numbers tell, and then that'll make the decision, do we need to do this more? Is it worth the investment of time and energy and resources? It really does put a big strain on people to do them live. I know it wouldn't seem like it, but it is a completely different animal doing them live versus doing them to tape and then showing it a couple hours later when you've got time to go back, fix things, change things, and do stuff. But, you know, I think all three races went pretty well. I think that all three times, the final rounds were worth waiting for. It was exciting. It was engaging. And I would certainly love to see it done more and more in the future. Of course, only time will tell.
Any final thoughts about the Lucas Oil Series cars or any of the action out here at the Mopar Mile High Nationals?
Well, you know, this place is just so special. You know, you and I pulled in here on Thursday. We're driving through the pits. And that looks like Brenda Grubb's car. What the heck is she doing here? Pulled over, talked to her husband, Bill, a little bit, and he says, hey, you know, we always heard about this place. Brenda was on business up here. I said, man, I'll meet you at the motorhome. Why not? And she wins it. And that being her first national event win, you're certainly never going to forget that. Jackie Alley winning in Superstock, you know, having two female winners on the same day is special. Jackie has won national events before, but she comes back and wins another one on the mountain where she won her first one. You know, had Brittany won, that would have been a huge deal to have three female winners, which we have seen before, but it certainly doesn't happen very often. But, you know, everybody that works and wins up here on the mountain, it takes a lot of extra effort, a lot of extra time and trouble just to make it happen. You know from walking around here, you get out of breath just because there's no oxygen up here. But congratulations to, you know, all of the winners, especially the first-timers. We had a number of those. But for Brenda Grubbs, when I punched up this morning looking at my stats and I'm going, there's no way she hasn't won as good as she's been. All the success that she's had over on the I side, the all-star success that she's had, the division success she's had, it's nice to see her finally get the national event, Wally. And when you see a guy like her husband, who is like a colonel in the military, crying on the starting line, they give you an idea how much it means to win one of these when you've put so much effort into trying to get it done.
Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. I had a great time. And I got to say, you know, I always trusted you no matter what, but this is one that, you know, you've proved it. You've said something, and you were right. So that is very nice. And I will take all your opinions into strong consideration in the future. Thank you.
We have a lot of great stops on the tour. Every track has its own personality, its own nuances, its own things that makes it special. But this place is amazing. And it, you really have to see it to believe it and see it to appreciate it. And I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you now know what I'm talking about. And, you know, for years to come when we talk about Bandimere, at least now you'll have an understanding of what we're talking about. And hopefully you'll be – I think I've been coming – 23 years now, so hopefully you'll be here for the next 23.
Oh, that would be great. It's on my calendar. I will lock it in if they will have me, that is for sure. Alan, thank you very much.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you next week from Sonoma. It'll be Tuesday then, right? You won't ruin my calendar again?
You will be on the phone, and I will be at home. I wish you well.
I will be on a Harley somewhere north of Crescent City on Highway 1 riding up the coast. I don't know where you're going to be, but it won't be that cool.
No, it won't. Alan, thank you very much.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you soon.
Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO Radio. We got the drivers. We got the winner circle. We got it all coming up next. So stick around. We have got J.R. Todd. We've got Robert Height. We've got Alan Johnson. We've got Andrew Hines and some surprises. John Bandimere are going to be on the show. Of course, the rental car roundup or wrap up with Mike English is going to happen. So stick around on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Do you want to go drag racing? Do you want to experience the feeling and the sensation that these racers feel each week and the reason they keep coming back? Well, you can. There's something called the Dragster Adventure going on at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more. You in a dragster driving, suited up, helmet, fire suit, stomping on the pedal, controlling the race car. It is a spectacular experience. Maybe you've got a sales team, a corporate environment. You want to get out there. You're thinking about, hey, let's do paintball. Bad idea. Go do the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more. And be sure to tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. Winner Circle coming up right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again.
Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Winner Circle here at the Mopar Mile High Nationals. We're going to catch up with the drivers. We're going to catch up with crew chiefs. We're going to catch up with various celebrities of many kinds here on WFO. All right, we have moved into the Winner Circle, literally. The Optima Batteries Top Fuel Dragster is here. I am here. J.R. Todd is here. And no one else is here. Where is everybody, J.R.?
I think they went to get more beer.
The party has started.
Yeah, this Coletta group, they definitely know how to party. And, man, what a day, you know. I never expected to run our best run of the weekend in the final round like that. That was pretty strong. Jimbo said, hey, we're going for it, and he definitely did. So, can't thank Conrad and the whole Coletta group for just welcoming me in and making me part of their family, and this is the best way to pay them back.
What is that like? We spoke years ago when you broke Tony Schumacher's incredible win streak. You have shown that you have the talent, and sometimes it's not about talent. Sometimes it's about being in the right place at the right time, getting the brakes to go your way. They weren't, but then they did. The phone rang, and this team that's known for being like this family of guys that are out here racing together, they kind of adopted you and brought you in. But I can imagine that was a lot of pressure for you to come in and perform.
I mean, the pressure is only what you put on yourself. And I've known a lot of these guys for a long time, Nikki and Tommy D. I work with them at Gilbertson's, and I've known Jimmo and Jono for a long time. We've been trying to put a deal together for me to drive over here for a long time. I mean, way before I even started driving in 2006 in NHRA, and just the timing wasn't right, the deals weren't there. And like you said, it's all about timing, and it worked out this spring when Conrad called me, and I can't thank him enough. The only thing missing was him here celebrating with us.
Well, that just means you're going to have to win again. Of course, the Western Swing, you've got an opportunity to sweep it now. All of a sudden, you got to think big here. What is this team capable of? What can happen with this team? They've got a driver, obviously. James and Conrad can tune this thing. The Coletta stuff is running real well right now. How big are you allowing yourself to think at this moment?
Well, I knew once they called and offered me the job that we were capable of winning whatever race we show up to, and I still feel that way, and there's only one car that can sweep the swing, but I'm not even thinking about that. I just want to go out there and win around, stay consistent, and like I keep saying, move up in that top 10, kind of distance ourselves from the cars behind us and gain on the ones in front of us. And by winning rounds and winning races, you'll do that.
There are people sitting at home right now waiting for the phone to ring in their own life, their own whatever they're doing. They might be trying to get a job. They might be trying to get a gig. They're working real hard. They're doing a lot of stuff. I look at this sport as a metaphor for regular life because it takes a lot to be successful here. Tell me about when the phone rang for you and for those people out there who are maybe thinking, oh, man, you know, it's not going to happen. What would you say to them?
I mean, it wore on my patience for the last 5 years. I wasn't sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, trying to make things happen. It's just hard to make things happen, you know, when it comes to the dollars it takes to run one of these things. And I was just fortunate enough and lucky enough to get the lucky call from Conrad. But it just goes to show, if you buy your time and I guess kind of pay your dues, that things will work out.
JR, congratulations on your win. Welcome back to the Winner's Circle in the NHRA. Thank you very much. What's the party going to be like with these guys?
I can only imagine. I probably won't get much sleep tonight, but that's all right. I got the rest of the week until Sonoma to rest up.
Sleep is overrated. JR, congratulations. Thanks for coming on WFO.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
WFO Radio here with Mopar Mile High Nationals champion, crew chief, and top fuel, James Riola. James, congratulations. Are you okay? Do you have all your limbs? Are you all right after the dog pile?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. It's just a little mosh pit experience. It's all good.
You got a big punch in the stomach.
Well, that's kind of a Kalita tradition, and I'm glad I can be part of it and glad I get to help carry it on.
Now, you know Houdini went out like that, big punch in the stomach.
I do, but mine was a little lower than the stomach this time, so I think we're okay.
Oh, yeah, it just lasts a lot longer, the pain. Yeah. Let's talk about JR and this team coming together. Optima Batteries, obviously, they've been out here a long time. Conrad, not here this weekend. I'm sure that's disappointing to him as much as he loves the racing, but you guys really delivered.
Well, I'm really happy that we were able to pull this off. You know, the help that I received and the whole team received from all three of our teams, and you know, Jimmo and Jono and all the other crew chiefs and everybody that helped. I mean, it was a fantastic group effort, and I'm very happy that I got to be a part of it. And you know, I'm sure the boss is at home, and you know, he had business to conduct, and I'm sure he knows what's going on, and he was seen pretty happy even after we went in and won the second round. So I'm sure he'll be thrilled when he sees this.
And the live TV element of it, how does that change what you guys do, if at all, other than that dog pile is going to be seen by a lot of people?
Well, the dog pile is kind of, like I said, that's the fun part. You don't really think about it until you actually get to the point. And, you know, the live TV thing, that puts a lot of pressure on the crew guys, puts a lot of pressure on the crew chiefs, and it puts a lot of pressure on these teams. And, you know, thankfully, we had a lot of help from all our other teams, and everybody pitched in, and we were able to get this car turned around even after a pretty bad failure in the semis. So, you know, the time shortening up, that kind of works on us a little bit, but, you know, thankfully we were able to rise to the occasion.
And what about your guys and your driver in particular? Because JR kind of came into a situation that for him is a great opportunity, but at the same time, boy, was it tough just coming into a bunch of guys that have already been together for a long time and have to deliver. I can imagine it was difficult for him. He seems to have handled it very, very well. What is your read on that whole situation?
Well, I'm of the opinion that JR definitely came in and rose to the occasion. I mean, he's done a fantastic job for us, and you know, he did walk into a difficult situation, and you know, it after about the first 15 minutes, it was like he'd been with us the whole time and everything fit in. And you know, one thing we're very proud of at the Kalita organization is that we are a family, and JR fits right in.
That is awesome. Now, what about points and what about countdown in terms of, is this a team that you feel like could win the championship?
I believe that there's a championship among the Kalita organization for sure.
James, thank you so much. Congratulations. So much fun watching you guys win. I know you guys have been on the starting line a lot this year. Some wins, some not wins, but everyone getting to know the Kalita team really, really well, and it's always fun when you guys win. Thank you for coming on WFO Radio.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you again.
Here in the Kalita Top Fuel Winner's Circle and caught up with one of the Kalita drivers, Doug Kalita. Doug, how cool is it for the team? You have obviously had an unbelievable season so far. You're championship caliber. It's about getting the job done at the right time. But when you can watch those guys dogpile on the starting line, it's got to be special.
Yeah, it sure was. You know, the only thing that could have made it better was for Connie to wanted to come here. But the you know, just the breathing, the altitude, the heat. So he has elected to stay home. But the guys were communicating with him, so you know, he was as big a part of the whole, you know, everything we were doing today. So, but yeah, it was a great day for JR and the whole team. It seems like they've moved solidly out of 10th now, hopefully. So, and that's definitely been the goal, is to get them up a little higher in the standings and make sure we can keep them in the top 10. So, great day for JR and the So Optima team and Optima Batteries team. So, we're real proud of them.
Now, you and your car, the Mack Tools team, just a tough draw first round. You and Antron, someone's got to lose. That's drag racing. You guys are 1-2 on points. You were 2-2 going into that race against one another. And you guys are the dominant drivers here in 2014 so far. What a tight race. Coin flip, pretty much. When you guys just got to keep banging on each other like that, is very entertaining for those of us sitting in the grandstands.
Yeah, I sure.
Obviously. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
No, exactly. Yeah, he's definitely a guy you like to run later in rounds. They're a tough team, and got a lot of respect for those guys. So we'll just keep battling. You know, we're Sonoma. I love running at Sonoma. You know, we just ready to get out there and get another shot at him. So, we're having fun this year. You know, Jimmo and all my guys. We struggle a little bit in qualified. Definitely had the thing worked out first round, and unfortunately I let him down a little bit with that reaction time I had. Wasn't a bad one, but when you run an Antron, you have to definitely be a little higher up on your wheel. So I'll definitely be a little more prepared next time.
Hey, it's drag racing. It's very, very tough. But most importantly, you got to wait like hours till the next time you race. You're racing again this weekend, the Western Swing.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking forward to it. Got my son Mitch here. He, you know, got to experience a win with not necessarily our car, but a team car. So it's all good mojo. We're looking forward to being in Sonoma.
Got to build up to the Big Dad win, I think.
Exactly. So we're still trying to figure out if he's going to come or not. He's leaning towards trying to get a seat in the plane.
I love it. I love it. Doug, thanks for taking the time with us on WFO.
Yeah, good job, Joe. Thank you.
All right, here with one of the guys from the Coletta team, Rick Fisher, who is a legend in many ways, but
primarily in my mind.
In the minds of many, how does the victory feel on the mountain?
It's incredible. We've had a couple of good Sundays out here before, but having JR drive the car and have a great win is wonderful for us.
How is it different when Conrad is not here?
It's quieter. And, of course, we don't see him in those Madras shorts.
Well, that is... Well, I'll just leave that be.
A sight to behold.
I can only imagine. You love this stuff. I've seen you at races for...
I've been doing this for 20 years with the Colettas.
And you're just eaten up by drag racing like Connie is?
When I was 15, I went to the Nationals in Detroit.
And that was that. You've been hooked ever since. Bye. Congratulations.
Thanks. Take care.
WFO Radio, the Coletta Winner's Circle continues. And it's a big family. You heard JR. It's a big family. I caught up with two of the family members. They are co-crew chief on Del Worsham's funny car, Nikki and Jono, Nikki Bonifant. Nikki, congratulations. You appear to be okay after the dog pile.
Yeah, I try to stay out of it now. I guess I might have had something to do with starting that whole mess back in 1993. But you know, I just try to, you know, stay away from it and stay clear so I don't get hurt.
Whoa, wait. You started it. Is that, tell me the story. Wait, maybe Jono should tell the story. Do you remember when Nikki started the dog pile?
Well, it was in 1993. What race was it we won? Columbus?
Topeka.
Or Topeka.
Yeah,
yep.
we were in Topeka.
And we won Topeka, and we kept talking about it. Oh, we're, you know how people, oh, I'm not going to get my hair cut till you win a race, or I'm not going to do this till I win a race. So Jimmo and Nikki, everybody decided that the next time we won a race that Jimmo is going to get his gut pounded. So... we finally won a race. We've been in a bunch of semifinals and finals, and then all of a sudden we won the race finally, and then Nikki went up there and just blasted Jim on the gut, and it all started from there. So ever since then, we've been beating the crap out of each other on the starting line. So that's what we do, you know?
You know Houdini died that way. He took a punch in the stomach, and the guy, that was it. It was over for Harry Houdini.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking James Riolo might have died today when he took that punch in the groin area
below the stomach
from Jono, but
it been legal in a fight.
Actually, it was probably below the belt, so I was actually calling him low blow Jono, but
no, wasn't that.
Were you aiming low?
Yeah.
And now the thing that sticks out in my mind, I can't let you off the hook, Nikki. Now you're staying away. You started the whole thing, and now you're like, you know, trying to avoid the danger.
He's claiming he's too old.
Yeah, we got a lot. Back then, we didn't have a whole bunch of big guys on the team. We got like a lot of guys now, a lot of big guys. And I'll tell you what, man, I got piled on a few years ago when we won with the DHL car, and it was pretty sore the next day. So nowadays, I'm just trying to stand back, watch what's going on, and watch everybody enjoy themselves as they beat the shit out of each other.
Now, seriously speaking, though, someone could get hurt. Obviously, you want everybody working for the countdown. And it looks like both Top Fuel teams are ready to rock in terms of countdown. Let's talk funny cars. Alexis has been strong at the start of the season. Dell feels like it's just right on the brink. Certain weekends, you guys have been really good. Things maybe haven't gone your way. What is your current assessment of the DHL car?
Well, we got a really good car in qualifying. We'll just forget about Denver because Denver's a little bit of a different, real different area, you know, to race in. And it's tough. I mean, we have a little bit of a learning curve on the funny cars to run here. Our dragsters do a lot better. But as far as, you know, the DHL car, I mean, man, we can qualify in the top two or three at every race. And we've got some number ones. And we worked, Jono and I worked a lot on trying to make power and, you know, get our clutch application where we can really make good, strong runs. So, on race day, we're just not really backing off quite as much as we need to when the tracks are getting hot. And, you know, we looked at everything after Norwalk, and we figured out that, you know, when we get on Sonoma, when we get to Sonoma, Seattle, Brainerd, when the tracks start warming up, we're gonna back off a little more and try to, you know, maybe not try to run quite as good as we think we can. And I think we'll be more consistent, win some more rounds.
Jono, there's a lot made about the Coletta team being a family first, and you guys kind of all winning together, losing together, fighting it out together. And how does that help you through what you're about to go through with the countdown? Doug running well, JR now running well, Dell, you don't even have to say anything about Dell, Alexis, a young driver emerging as a star in this sport, and you guys about to go through some really serious stuff, finishing up this Western Swing, of course the big go, the Zoo in Brainerd, and then the countdown.
Well, I mean, we are a big family. I mean, we look at everything. I mean, Tommy has access to everything we have. I mean, and we have access to everything he has, you know, and then same thing with the dragsters. I mean, we all work as a team. We're not four individual teams. We're one big team with four cars. So, I mean, so that's the way we've always been. That's the way Connie wants it, you know, and then we believe in that philosophy. I mean, Jim O's been accused of hiring all his friends, you know, me being his brother. I think he just had to have me, but we have a group of people that we all get along, and we all care about each other, and we want to work together, and we want to do better together. Like, that's just like today, you know, like you don't see what you see for any other multi-team. When we have a car in the final, we all go down there. You see all the different shirts from all the different teams, and you don't really see that on any of the other multi-car teams. But it's all because we are a family, and we all want to win together. All the money goes into one pot, and you know, guys get bonus checks from all the cars. So, you know, if you work on the Patron car, you got a bonus from the Optima battery car today. So that's just the way we roll. And that's the way we've always been. We do that to promote, you know, more team and more camaraderie between the teams. So, you know, that's the way we are. That's, you know, it is one big family, you know, with us, and that's the way we go. And we want to work together. We're interested in working together. And if we find something that works better, you know, we tell the other one about it. So that's just the way we've always been, and that's the way we like it.
Nikki, Jono, thank you so much for coming on WFO. I love having you guys on the show. Next time you'll see me will be the Zoo. So, we gonna hang? What's up in the Zoo?
I don't know about the Zoo. The Zoo, that's crazy talk out there. It's not a real world thing. It's out there. I mean, you can get lost in the Zoo for sure, right? Right, Nick?
Well, you can get lost in the Zoo, and a lot of good things can happen. But for the most part, everything can be real bad. So what Jono and I usually do is we may make one lap through there with Tommy D and Dell, and you know, sometimes we can get Alexis to make a lap with us. And so hopefully, you know, we can even get Jim O to go, and then we go to bed.
Exactly. Right to bed. Safety first. Guys, thank you for coming on WFO.
Yep. Always a pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Joe.
Jono, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Joe. Have a good night, and thanks for being here.
Oh, you don't have to thank me. It's my pleasure. This place is great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Your Top Fuel winners on WFO Radio. When we come back, we're going to get into the funny car class with John Force Racing's Robert Height and a lot of the John Force Racing guys. Stick around on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223.
480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, a Winner's Circle edition on location. I am live, but you're hearing it after the fact, so it's on location, not live. You get that? I know you understand. The Mopar Mile High Nationals. There's Eric from John Force Racing. Eric, you want to be on WFO for a second? Thank you for the rides in the morning.
Welcome.
Okay, first and last name, job task.
Eric Frampton, race support, John Force Racing.
Nicest guy in the pit area also. You gave me a ride in and prevented me from having to walk up the mountain. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, seriously, great day for John Force Racing. Two funny cars in the final, Brittany in the final. Obviously, you would love to have won both, but looks like a pretty successful day from where I'm sitting.
Yes, we actually had first time ever three cars in the final. Actually, won one and two runner-up, and that's first time ever for John Force Racing. So it was a really, really good day.
So for our listeners out there, you are on TV a lot. They know you. They just don't know they know you. You're on the top end. What are you doing?
Basically, I'm getting John and the team out of the car so they can get on TV and get on ESPN and basically pulling stuff off the car so when they get to the pits, it's a little bit quicker turnaround so they can get back on the starting line and get down the track again.
Well, congratulations on a great weekend. And most importantly, really the most important thing is you gave me a ride up the mountain. So thank you.
No, thanks for what you guys do. You guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Hanging in the winner's circle with the guys from the Auto Club Mustang. Robert is getting his photograph taken. We're going to hang with the guys. What is your name? What do you do on the car?
Pete Johnson. I do bottom end of the motor.
Are you thrilled about this victory over the boss?
Oh, yeah. We've had a good season. Can't wait to do it, Mike.
Five wins. Were you here for all five?
I have been here all year.
Are you ready for a championship run?
Let's go.
Congratulations. What's your name? What do you do on the car?
Justin Jones, tire and body.
All right. Very responsible. What about the thin air up here? What do you have to do to the body to run differently on the mountain?
I just got to change the rear workers and everything, put it up a little higher so it gets a little more drag in the back and a little more downforce. That's pretty much it.
Five wins this season. That's awesome that you guys have got to celebrate like this five times.
Yeah, it's awesome celebrating with this group of guys. You know, it's a good team. We all get along really well, and we do great.
You know, if this doesn't work out for you, you got a radio voice, so watch out.
Thank you.
What's your name? What do you do on the car?
Ben Ratcliffe. Do manifolds and ignition.
Manifolds. That's pretty important stuff right there.
Slightly.
Get the fuel there and then blow it up.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
How hard are these races to win?
Extremely hard. I went 6 years without winning one.
Whoa, 6 years. Mm-hmm. That had to get tough at the like the fifth year and the 11th month.
Yeah, actually, I was ready to quit after five, and Ashley Force actually told me, wonder what would happen if my dad quit after 5 years.
Oh, he would have been done. He would have been still a leaker.
Exactly.
We wouldn't know him.
He'd be driving trucks.
Wow, congratulations on this win. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Probably just hang out with the guys, do some dinner, and enjoy the night.
This is a close-knit group.
Very close, yes. Best group of guys I've ever worked with.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What's your name? What do you do on the car?
Tom Buckingham. I do short blocks and right side head.
Oh, that's pretty important, building the things. And after all your work comes through and you're able to win one of these things, how much, what a relief is it?
Oh, it's a big relief, about biggest in the world.
Well, congratulations. Go celebrate. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
WFO Radio here in the winner's circle with Robert Height, driver of the Auto Club Mustang. All right, Robert, we spoke last Tuesday, and I said, hey, would you be happy if you swept the Western Swing? And you said, yes. Well, race one accomplished. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. You can't sweep the swing unless you win Denver, and we're off to a good start. We debuted a brand-new car here this weekend, and if my team wouldn't have told me it was a brand-new car, I wouldn't have known. And I usually hate new cars. It just shows what a good team I've got and how perfect they make this thing.
Started off the season really, really strong. This is your fifth win. We were just talking to a couple of your guys. And then you kind of went a little quiet for a little while. Was that testing? Was there something going on? Are you guys ramping back up to get ready for the countdown? Because all the John Force cars, you and John especially, really dominant at this race.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it just proves how tough this class is. And, you know, you need a little some lucky breaks. And even when we were winning and setting the world on fire, we were getting a few lucky breaks. Lately, we haven't had those. So you've got to be good, and you also have to get the breaks, and you take advantage of whatever you get. So 2012, I won four races in a row at the beginning of the season. Took a year, almost a year and a half to get my next win. So trust me, some of that stuff was going through my mind. To get my fifth win this early, you know, and with a brand new car and getting ready for the countdown, I'm liking the way that this auto club at Ford is positioning itself.
You're feeling like this is going to be your countdown car.
It is. That's why we decided to run it here, and we had a pretty good lead, and Mike Neff said, you know, it's going to give us a few races to work the bugs out. And, you know, we didn't want to take our other car and front half it without running this one. So now we'll take the other one back to the shop and get it front halved, and we'll have two great, great hot rods.
The final round against John, obviously cutting through the field. You had to run against Courtney. You had a tough day. It was not easy. But then you and John in the final round, of course, there's got to be a little bit of a sigh of relief because, hey, we've won. But at that point then, you know he wants to win, and you want to win, and it's like this competitor, you know, brothers against each other, father and son against each other. Whenever you really tighten the circle, you and your best friend go at something, whatever it is at another level. Is that how it is with you and John when you guys race each other?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's my old team over there, too. You know, this marks 1 year that Mike Neff and me and this team have been together. And, you know, it's they went on to win the championship last year. So this is bittersweet. But, yeah, we pull out all the stops. And trust me, he's 16-time champ for a reason. He won his 140th race last week in Norwalk. You know, he's on a roll. And I figured, honestly, the way he was running, I figured it was going to be a real close race. Didn't know if we could get him. I knew I had to do my job on the starting line, and the conditions were changing. You know, it rained, it cooled off, and then the sun was out, and it started to heat back up, and conditions were changing. And I think Mike Neff just made better calls, and you know, Jimmy and that team, you know, they were still thinking the racetrack was going to be great.
Total domination in Funny Car by John Force Racing through qualifying, through eliminations. These Bandamere race fans, this is my first time out here, they are a breed of their own. These guys are wild. Every time the boss comes up the return road on the scooter, they're going nuts. They do that at most tracks. But a real love for John Force Racing out here. It's got to be kind of special to win this one.
It is. It's my third win here. I love coming up here on the mountain. You know, I call this the coolest race on the racetrack in the country. I mean, the guy has cooling in the racetrack, in the racing surface, and he even added more this year. So I want to thank all the fans for coming out. Three packed days. And like I told you last week, Joe, I think you were going to be happy coming to Denver for the first time, and it was pretty exciting.
I loved it. It was great. Everyone needs to come here. Robert, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. So should I slot you in for next week? No, I'm not going to Sonoma, unfortunately. We'll have to do it by phone. Are you okay with that?
Put me in, man. You're on speed dial.
Thanks, Robert. Congratulations.
Thank you.
WFO Radio on location from the Winner's Circle. It's that show here with two WFO Radio listeners, Dave and Amy. What's up, guys?
Not much, Joe. Great race.
Did you enjoy your first time at Bandamere? It was your first time, right?
Yeah, great, great. Come to Bandamere, folks. But pay the extra money for the preferred parking. It's a much closer walk up the hill.
There you go. And Amy, you running? No, I'm running after you. No, I'm going to get you. Did you have fun?
I did, absolutely.
And you're a WFO listener. You're a female. I don't know if that works out. That would be two now that we have recorded.
That's good.
A huge ratio. Huge ratio. Unbelievable. So you had a good time out here at Bandamere?
Absolutely, without a doubt. Everybody come to Bandamere at least once.
There you go. And you enjoy WFO?
Yes.
Most importantly, right?
WFO.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. And a new listener.
My name is Larry.
You're local?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the Army, the WFO Nation. Universe.
Universe.
There you go. Thank you, Larry. Friends of Dave and Amy.
Oh, just met, but we go way back.
We're
like this.
Friends right here. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Winter Circle celebration ongoing here at Bandamere Speedway. We've got more winners. We've got more personalities from NHRA drag racing, the Mellow Yellow Series. Surprises yet to come, so stick around. But first, I want to tell you about Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak puts together a WFO radio blend of coffee. And I'm thinking, well, it's great. This guy named the coffee. Turns out, these are special beans from different plantations, estates down there in Brazil and in Colombia. It is spectacular. I have tried it. I enjoyed it. I've gone to my coffee-drinking friends. They absolutely love it. You need to check it out, too. You want to support WFO Radio, get the WFO Radio blend of Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Get online. Go to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or click the banner ad on WFOradio.com. They do barbecue rubs. It's summer. You're grilling. They do hot sauces. That habanero sauce is my favorite. And they do custom blended roasted coffees from around the world. You don't have to get the WFO radio blend. You can get Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee. You can get stuff from all over the world. But check it out. Marvin is a big drag racing fan from Texas. Go Texan with Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. We'll be back with more from Bandamere Speedway here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio with the Pro Stock winner on the mountain, three in a row, eight final rounds in a row, six wins, Alan Johnson. Alan, congratulations.
Thank you, Joe. You know, we're always happy to come on with you because we've just won a race when we've done that. So what a phenomenal place, this place we call the Mountain, and the Bandamere family, Mopar, Magneti Morelli, the new Dodge Dart, Gosh, this doesn't get any better than this.
This morning, you were not confident. Normally, you're a pretty confident guy. You're not one of these guys that's kind of down on yourself when you should be up. You pretty much tell it like it is. But you didn't seem confident this morning, and here we are in the winner's circle.
You know, we had a struggling weekend, really did. And I was confident in the guys to make a good run, first run, so we would have something to build on for the day. And they did that. But before that, I was a little apprehensive but confident. But, you know, this veteran team has confidence up here. They want to win this race for Mopar. I want to win this race for Mopar, and we come through when we need to.
That relationship, Mopar has re-upped for a couple of years, three more years, and I would encourage all my listeners to make sure to come to this race because you can't really understand how much Mopar puts into this race until you come here and you see it. Now I really understand why you have put so much effort into it. Let's talk about the numbers, though. You go back to this one story. We came out here. We tested. That was like years ago. How does a setup last that long? How are you able to dominate for this long at this track?
It's just a veteran team that really wants to win this race. They care about it. They want it in their gut. They just work at it. They work their butts off, and all of us, we want this so bad for Mopar and Magneti Marelli. And, again, it happened again.
And Jed gave you a shower on the top end. You guys, teammates in the final round, that's got to be icing on the cake. But I know whenever you run a teammate, the competitor comes out, you want to win it, and you were able to do it. We saw some great reaction times towards the end of this race against Dave Connolly, against Jed. You were really amped up. As the driver, did his job as well.
You have to be. Those guys are so great. Jeg, he can literally adjust his clutch pedal within 0.005 of a second on his reaction time. He was 002 in the semis, and the cloud cover come over right before the final. And I know that adds 0.04 or 0.05 to the reaction time. And I was like, come on, cloud cover, let him have about 3 more good thousandths. And it worked. So
the light.
Yeah,
that is absolutely great. Now, let me ask you a little bit, the point standings. Erica is leading the points. I know you guys are great friends and all, but in terms of competition, they have already announced they're not going to run Sonoma and Seattle. You are able to gain points potentially in that situation. The championship leader going into the countdown does get a bonus. So that first place is important. Is that something you're thinking about, trying to perform real well to take the lead, seeing that she won't be at the next two races?
Oh, definitely. You know, we're looking toward that. And, you know, I expect them to show up out there, even though they announced they wasn't, because they know I can overtake the lead if I win both races. And that's what we plan on doing.
AJ, congratulations. They want you in the press room. Thanks for taking the time for WFO Radio.
Thank you, Joe.
WFO Radio, here with the man, John Bandemir. John, first of all, welcome to WFO Radio. Thank you for hosting us at your facility.
You bet. Nice to be here, Joe, and I'm glad you're here.
My first time at your track, I have heard about this place for a long time, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of East Coasters who maybe aren't out here or wouldn't necessarily plan a trip to come out here. This far exceeded my expectations, what you and your team have built here. Take me back to the beginning. I know you have a book out. How did this place become what it is with such a great following among the locals?
Well, okay, the way it started really was my dad. My dad and mom had a love for kids. They wanted a place for me, especially, to get off the street. We were racing on the street. And so we had an auto parts business, and he had a little machine shop. He was one of the first guys to ever supercharge anything, okay? First guy to have an 18-wheeler at a big race, for example. I mean, he's done a lot of things that were really cool, and I'm kind of a prodigy of that. I went to school to be a cattle buyer. I had no interest in this at all. But, as you know, God had a different plan for my life, and that plan was to be here. Dad passed away in 1986. When he passed away, we had had the national event for a few years. 78 was a sports nationals. 79 was a national event, and then we had it every year. And in 1987, Dallas Gardner, who was president of NHRA, said, look, we can't come back. Billy Meyer just built a motorplex. Am I getting too long?
No, you're just right. I'm putting my earplug back in. Go.
And So everybody wanted to kind of make their facilities better. Highway was being built right out in front of us here. And so I moved about 4 million yards of dirt here and rebuilt the facility in 1987. We did not have a national event in 88 and then came back in 89. And in 89, that's when Mopar came on board, and they've been our sponsor from that day till now. In fact, here at the event, they just renewed for 3 more years. And so I guess the best way to explain what happens here is that, number one, I think I shared that out there, that this isn't my place. This is God's. I work for Him. I enjoy that. It takes a lot of the stress out of your life, if you know what I mean. And so consequently, I love people, and I really like having them around, and I love my family, and they all work for us, and they do a great job. And sometimes it's fun to have family and just step back and let them excel. And that's really what I'm all about.
The proximity to downtown Denver, the highway right here, the view that you have, and the way the locals have received you. You know, there are a lot of places that when there's a racetrack, someone buys a house, there's a racetrack, what's this racetrack? We got to get them closed. We got to move them out. Or an airport, we hear that very often. And the stories that I'm hearing is that the locals are embracing this facility, that they want the facility, and that there was once a time where you considered maybe moving to another location, and they reached out to you and said, don't move anywhere.
Well, with us here, they know what they have. And when you take, we have a reading program, as an example, Joe, that we have about 35,000 kids in it, K through sixth grade, every year. We've done that for 18 years. We do a fireworks display on the 4th of July, and people come from all over because we're the only place in the county that really puts on a big show. We try to take, and when somebody does have a problem that's moved in close to us, is we invite them to come out, and then I give them a tour and let them see what we do and get to know them, because you and I don't even know each other, but I'd like to develop a relationship with you because you're a great announcer and you do a great job. And I've enjoyed that a lot, but that's really what it boils down to, is that you have to make sure that your heart is in the right place, and you're not doing it just to try to placate people. You know what I mean? People know, they know if you're phony or not. They know exactly right off the bat. And I just basically love having people around, and I'm glad this event's over.
And the rain held off.
Amen. But look around. You and I are, of course, there's stuff from the winter circle, but if you go up and look around, there's a lot of trash. Trash is a good thing. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but when you have a lot of trash, that means you've sold a lot of stuff, and that's what it's about.
It makes perfect sense. Everyone had a great time. You also have a book out right now, yeah. And my WFO radio listeners, they're into that kind of stuff. They want to read. Where can we get it? What is the story? The genesis, obviously, I imagine, is this track and your career. Where can we get the book? Tell us about it.
Well, it's on Amazon.com. So you can get it there, or you can take and get a hold of us at www.bandemir.com, and we can get one out to you that way. It's a book about how my dad started, some of the stories, how I actually became involved and now run the racetrack, what all of the little nuances. And as you know, you're an announcer, okay, so there's downtime. A lot of times I'll walk up, I'll grab the microphone, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to tell you a story. And I tell them a story about how this happened or how that happened or whatever. And then everybody says, why don't you take and maybe put that all into a book? And that's what the book's all about. It's called Living It Loud. And Living It Loud right here at the old racetrack. So it has a little bit of a spiritual message to it. But it also has a message of how God has prevailed and allowed us to grow.
John, thank you so much for hosting us at your facility. Again, I can't say it enough. It is exactly what drag strips should be. What is the future? What do you have in your mind that is yet to happen? You've just re-signed Mopar for 3 years. What appeared to be a total sellout, packed house to my eye, and I know that there are a lot of people on the East Coast that are going to come to this track in the coming years. So what do you got planned?
Well, we're just going to continue to keep moving along. We put the cooling in, added more cooling this year, added some more lights. What I'm looking for right now is we're praying that we get water. You know, Red Rocks is right over the hill, And think about it. This is our 56th year, and we do not have running water at this facility. So everything is operated out of portalettes. We have a cistern that we put water in, and we have water for our tower and for our concessions and so on. But there's not a permanent restroom on this facility. And it would be really nice, if you've been around the facility, we have a little bottleneck up there where our main concession is. And if we ever got real water, then I could tear that down, move it back, and make that a straight shot all the way through for our spectators to be able to go through and build a place to where they could sit and eat and give them some amenities. Today, it's all about amenities. I'm telling you right now. I don't know if you noticed the Finish Line Club, but that Finish Line Club is a 310-foot tent that we put up there. A lot of the racetracks are complaining that the racers are taking all of the hospitality away, you know, like the Schumacher thing and so on. Fine. Yeah, they did. They took that away from us. We used to have a lot of that. But what we did is we said, we'll just build our own. And the Finish Line Club had 380 people in it today. Well, in fact, it was sold out every one of the days of this deal. Top Eliminator Club, we have about a 7-year waiting list on that. So if I could build something on this side that would be like on that side, I think you could fill it. And I think it would pay for itself. So.
WFO listeners Dave and Amy were just talking to me, and they are in the Finish Line Club, and they loved it. So you got them hooked. Hey, thank you very much, John. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on WFO as well, telling your story. And I agree, we should form a relationship that lasts years into the future. What do you say?
Let's do it. God bless.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Andrew Hines, Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, signing autographs. While the rain comes down, you got to make a fast exit. Going to do some autograph signing and some photographs in between. We'll do an interview. This is like live Winter Circle stuff. This is exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's all kinds of craziness going on. I'm trying to get my son out of this track. He's got football practice tomorrow. So
the race after the race.
Exactly. So, he did a good job. He got two of his, he went to three races this summer, got two out of three. So he's pretty pumped up. That's pretty awesome.
All right, rapid fire bullet points. Are you happy?
Yes. Very consistent motorcycle all weekend long, running between a 19 and a 24, all 8 passes. So easy to ride, nice and straight, decent lights, except the final there. I guess I missed it. I don't know. We 60-footed really killer, though. Never been 107 60-foot on the mountain. Went 107.2. It's actually better 60-foot here than I had in Norwalk in the final. So that's pretty crazy. Good job by Matt to get the bike dialed in. Still the brand-new motorcycle, undefeated.
What's faster, the Pro Stock motorcycle or the rental car in a few minutes?
Pro Stock motorcycle. I'm a good driver when it comes to the street. I keep it legal.
All you kids out there.
Yeah, keep it safe. That's the big thing. I do all my racing on the track, and anything I do in the car is all, whatever's posted.
Now, this is abbreviated, so you're going to have to win again.
Yeah, I'm sorry it has to be so fast, but, man, I got to get out of here. And it's awesome to win up at Bandimere. I think I got 3 national event wins up here now. I started racing here in 2002. Come a long way, long career so far, even though I'm relatively young. So I just admire what my team does for me. They're able to go out there and dig and give me a great motorcycle. So we're working hard, and believe me, it's not going to stop.
Congratulations. How about a big WFO?
WFO, man. It's the way to go. If you don't have the app, you got to get it now.
Thanks, Drew.
Yep.
And out there in Chicago, I did something with Mike English called the Rental Car Roundup or Wrap-Up or something. And Mike is with me. He's getting ready to catch a plane, Mike English. You're ruining the Rental Car Roundup. Wrap-Up.
We can go sit in your rental car and do a Rental Car Roundup. I like a Rental Car Roundup better than a Wrap-Up anyway.
How about behind the tower right now since you're here? Your first time on the mountain as well. We started the show with Alan Reinhardt talking a little bit about how he had said that this was a spectacular place, and now I had seen it, and I agree. We spoke with John Bandimere, we heard from the racers. You were calling races all weekend. What is your assessment of this facility?
One word, spectacular. I mean, it's just unbelievable the way this place, the way it's laid out. You sit there and talk to them, and you know, when we were leaving in the traffic last night, we go, hey, what's the easiest way to get out of this place? And the whole family so involved in it, one of the daughters comes over and tells us, oh, you just go right down here, hang a right, go out that main road, hang a left. And it's just, this place is so well run. It's just unbelievable. And, I mean, every time I'd meet somebody in the tower, oh, it's a Bandimere, and this is so-and-so's grandson, this is the son of so-and-so, and the whole family's involved. And I think that's the way why this track runs as well as it does.
It was a great race. We saw J.R. Todd. We saw Robert Hyde. Of course, Alan Johnson. He wins every year here. That's not out of the ordinary. And Andrew Hines, any moments stick out in your mind? You were on the mic when there was a big Top Sportsman crash as well. A lot going on here.
Well, the most impressive run of the weekend for me was the 199-mile-an-hour run for Alan Johnson at, what was the corrected altitude, like 9,000 feet. I mean, that's just, like, out there in, like, no man's land. And, of course, the Force cars side-by-side, 404 and 405, was very, very impressive, too.
Very cool. Mike, what is your next race?
Next weekend, Sonoma.
You're going to Sonoma. I will see you in Brainerd. We're going to be in the Zoom, me and Mike English. We're going to be all right? Is that going to be okay with us? You think we're going to make it?
Oh, I think we'll get through it just fine. We'll get an extra fast golf cart, so if they start chasing us, we'll just ride on down the road, and we'll get out of there.
Mike, thank you very much. Another rental car roundup from behind the tower here on WFO. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, always.
And that's going to do it for this edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Hopefully you enjoyed On Location from the Winner's Circle. I certainly did. And remember, folks, subscribe on iTunes, download the mobile application, and most importantly, tell your friends about the show. They don't know it exists. They don't know that they can go on the internet and hear all the stars of drag racing behind the scenes. Certainly not. And, of course, if you're going to the rest of the Western Swing races, we will have the winners on WFO Radio. Big thanks to everyone who joined us, Alan Reinhardt and Mike English and J.R. Todd, James Riola, and, of course, Robert Height and the guys from John Force Racing and, of course, Doug Coletta and Nikki and Jono and everybody who was on, Andrew Hines and Alan Johnson. That's a great show, by the way. Wow, so I got to go back and listen to this thing. But it was a great time. All the WFO fans, Dave and Amy, and all the folks that said hi to me at the block party in Golden. Everybody, you guys are awesome. Send your self-addressed stamp envelopes. I'm going to load them up with WFO stickers. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much. And you guys are the ones that keep this show going. It means so much when you pull me out of the crowd and say, hey, I listened to the show. It makes all the difference in the world. So thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up now, though, because I'm out of breath up here on the mountain. We can't just talk perpetually on the mountain. You run out of wind, baby. So that's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Don't forget the Ignition Show, and don't forget to subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes or the application or all that stuff you already know about. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.